Let's talk about praying in tongues today. Let's talk about some of my experience when I first started to learn about the power of prayer and some of the confusion that I had and was taught, and hopefully clear some of this up so you don't have to spend some years figuring things out the same way I did. We're going to read mostly out of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and 12 in that area if you want to start turning your Bible that way. Praying in tongues have been such a powerful tool in my life to bring change and transformation. It brought hope to me when I learned just how valuable it was to spend time praying in the Holy Ghost. But it almost didn't get there because I have been not brought up in church and didn't have a lot of understanding of praying in tongues. But the church I went to, they would pray in tongues during the service, but it was never taught as a tool. It was more taught that it was something good to do, to be peculiar, to stand out, and it was God working through you. And in that time, I was 18 years old. I really wanted to pray in tongues. I didn't understand it. But I remember getting into a discussion with a leader from a different ministry. He did not believe in praying in tongues. He felt that praying in tongues had passed away, and it wasn't for everyone. And if you got it, good for you. But if you don't got it, then it's just not God's gift for you. And so what he told me was the reason you don't have it is because God doesn't want you to have it. And he took me to this verse in 1 Corinthians 12. And he said, verse 30, and he read out of the Bible to me. Now remember, I wasn't raised in church, so whatever he said made sense. And it's in the Bible, by the way. In verse 30 of chapter 12, 1 Corinthians, do all have the gifts of healings? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? This is a rhetorical question, and the answer to that, of course, is no. So he said to me, see, not everyone is to speak in tongues. So don't be discouraged if you want to pray in tongues, but you don't, because God obviously doesn't want you to have it right now. And that's a special gift for some people, and it must not be for you or for me, he thought. Because he was okay with not praying in tongues. I, on the other hand, wanted to pray in tongues. I didn't see any reason why God would not give me the prayer of the Holy Ghost. He's not a respecter of persons. Many years later now, I understand what this verse means. And I wish I knew back then, because maybe I could have helped him and me at the time. And I'm going to share some of that and maybe clear up some of the confusion around this one verse here. Verse 30, do all speak with tongues? The answer is no. And so that's in the Bible. So we have to have a legitimate answer to make sense if we believe that everyone should have the opportunity to pray in tongues. Because we do know that God is not a respecter of persons. Before I go any further, let's go over to Acts chapter 1. Now let's just read a few verses there. Acts chapter 1. And I'll just read verses 1. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all things that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up. Afterward, he, through the Holy Spirit, was given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he had presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And so Jesus gives them a commandment that when I leave, I want you to stay in Jerusalem until the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, comes upon you and you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. And my goal today is not to talk in depth about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but just to answer the meaning of not everyone prays in tongues. Because here he tells them, stay in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you're baptized in the Holy Ghost. He didn't say, some of you be baptized in the Holy Ghost. He said all of them. Now, the ones he were talking to was mainly the apostles. So is the praying of tongues only for the apostles? That's possible. But here we also see, if we go down to verse 15, and in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Altogether, the number of names was about 120. So now we have, and it says here in verse 14 that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there, and his brothers. So this group was 120, including Mary, the brothers of Jesus. They were not apostles. And about a total of 120 men and women were waiting in what we call the upper room. And they waited until the Holy Ghost came. So let's just go over to verse 1 of chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled, and I underlined all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the point is that in Scripture we see the main time Jesus said, I want you to wait for the Holy Spirit, that all of them received it. He didn't say some of you will receive it. He said, I want all of you to go wait. And if you wait until the Holy Spirit comes, you'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they ended up speaking in tongues. Not some of them, all of them. And I want to address that because this one verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which I've turned back to, can be taught out of context and can be swallowed as truth because it's in the Word when it says, do all speak with other tongues with a rhetorical question? No. And the right answer here is no, but we want to see today, and I'm going to show you today, by the end of this, you'll have an understanding who he's talking about, or more specifically, what tongue is he talking about exactly. Because you'll find that there's different tongues, which is a language of the Holy Spirit, a heavenly language that's available for everyone who's born again. It's how he teaches us, it's how he pray out the will of God in our life. It's how he helps us to transform into children of God in holiness. All these things are a part of our helper, the Holy Spirit, our guide, our comforter, our teacher. And praying in tongues is one of the main ways that he processes truth and knowledge to you from his mind to your mind. And so many things, intercession. And so it's a most important gift for you as a believer. It's changed my life. It's rescued me 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times. It's helped me so much in my life. I am so appreciative of the Holy Spirit as my teacher and my guide and my comforter. It's helped me to go way beyond my own ability. Whatever I can do in my own, praying in the Holy Ghost changes your life if you do it. And if you come to a question, well, it says here it's not for everyone. We will answer that today, right now. So let's just take a look here in 1 Corinthians. We're hovering over chapter 12, 13, but mostly 14. We'll start in verse 1 of chapter 14. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. So I've heard that also that, you know, hey, I desire to pray in tongues, but I especially desire to prophesy. The difference is the tongues that he's talking about here is not the same as your personal prayer language. So I want you to see, and we're going to talk about two diversions of tongues. The first one is your personal prayer language. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit upon an individual, irregardless of their calling, of their status, if they're male or female, nationality, irregardless of where they're living with God. If you're born again, you have the new nature of Christ in you. You are now have access to be baptized by the Holy Spirit to pray in other tongues. And that is your personal prayer language. That is how you allow the Holy Spirit, when you pray in tongues, to come into your life, or you go into him and you spend time with him teaching you, mentoring you, helping you, comfort you, guide you. You pray out the perfect will of God. It helps you to see the areas of your life that you can really change in and should change in. That's the main way you allow the Holy Spirit to work through you and with you. And that's your personal, that's where no one understands you. You don't understand it. It says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4, "For he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself." So praying in tongues helps you to edify yourself, to grow up in your spirit. In verse 14 of chapter 14, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." This is your personal prayer language. This is the prayer language that no one understands, only heaven understands, and your inner man can do it. It's your personal prayer language. It's not for the public. It's not for anyone else to hear. This is the type of prayer that you keep quiet and you keep to yourself, because no one's going to understand what you're saying. Now, there's another gift of tongues. So I want you to see these two areas today. These are the two main areas that we understand. There's others. There's intercession. There's tongues as a sign to the unbeliever. Today we're talking about the difference between your personal prayer language, a gift of tongue, which is a moment of prayer in unknown language for a church, for a church service. And it's called the gift of tongues. This is when maybe you've been in a service. What happens is you're in a church service. God wants to get a point across. So he activates the gift of tongues in one of his children. And they speak for a few moments, a couple of lines of heavenly language that no one understands. But it's the Holy Ghost in them speaking that out to the congregation. So they hear this foreign, unknown heavenly language. This is not an earthly language. This is a heavenly language at this time. But then it means nothing to them unless there is someone to interpret. So in that service, if God activates the gift of tongues, which is for, the gift of tongues is a gifting, which is selective for certain people to speak a unknown language from heaven to the crowd in a short burst, not an hour long. It's usually a minute or two, a few lines. And then in that same service, there is always, if it's God, someone to interpret, not translate. So they don't hear it so much as they are interpreting, this is what God said in that tongue in your language. So if you're in Italy, it's going to be in Italian that the person interprets it into. In England, it'll be English. If you're in Brazil, it'll be Portuguese. Into your own understanding language. So in a service, there will be someone who will give a tongue and another person, a partner, maybe that God puts together, an interpreter. And that way the church people can understand what God was saying in the tongue. And these two go together as the gifting, a gifting for the church. And so if you're in a church service and someone gives that tongue, there needs to be an interpreter to interpret it so you can know what God is saying. It is equal to a prophecy. As someone stands up and says, God is saying this to you right now, this is another version of prophesying. It's another way of God getting his message to the crowd, to the church. So I've been in services where at certain time there's a quiet time. Someone may come up to the microphone and give a spiritual tongue in a heavenly language, not an earthly language, a heavenly language as a gift. This is different than their personal prayer language. This is a gift of tongues for a service. If it's in a service, anything that happens in a service is supposed to be for the edification of the people. And so that's why you needed someone to interpret it so the people understand what was just said. And I've been in services where people would in a moment go up to the microphone and give a tongue, and then a few moments later someone would stand up and come and interpret it, and we would receive the word of God in that moment that God wanted to bring across. This is a gifting for the church. This is a gifting for the church service. This is an important part of a church, that God wants to share his mind, and he uses people to share his mind. Sometimes it's a speaker, sometimes it's through a prophecy or through a tongue interpretation. Now, what was happening in the church of Corinth, their services were not so much like what we have. Right now, Most of us have services where it's very structured and very ordered. You have one speaker, you have a praise and worship team, and it's kind of very structured. But the Corinthian church was kind of built more of a team. So everyone were taking turns. And what was happening was people were being maybe overexcited, and some were would say, oh, I want to take my turn. And they would give a tongue. It wasn't a gift. God didn't. A gift comes on you. It comes on you. You can't just make it happen. And so someone may give a gift. Another person says, I want to do that too. And so they would pray in their private prayer language, in their personal prayer language for the church service. So they would take a minute or two, say, hey, let me go. And they would give a tongue, but no one would interpret because it wasn't a gift of tongues. It was their private prayer language. When you pray in your unknown tongue, when you pray in your private prayer language, it's for you. It's to edify yourself. And so you won't even most times be able to interpret what you were praying because it says that your understanding is unfruitful. So the personal prayer that you give when you pray in tongues is not about your natural man understanding what you're saying in that moment. It's about your inner man, your spiritual man, your inner body, your inner man praying in tongues. That's where the knowledge of the Spirit is held in your spiritual man. And so the natural man is left unfruitful. The natural mind says, I just prayed in tongues for an hour. I don't know what I said. That's okay. We don't want you to know what came through you because you might run from what God is trying to pray into your own personal life. What was happening in the service was people would get up and they would begin to pray in their personal language and no one would understand what they were saying. And so it didn't help them. It didn't edify them. It didn't encourage them. It didn't rebuke them. They just heard someone jabber in public, didn't know what they said. So we just spent 2 minutes, 5 minutes, who knows, maybe some took 10 minutes and just jabbering. And it was spiritual because the praying in tongues is spiritual. But I was not edified. I wasn't helped. I wasn't encouraged. I wasn't rebuked because it wasn't like a prophecy. A prophecy comes as a word of the Lord for that moment, God's mind for that moment. And it comes forward and I understand it. I have direction. I have correction. I have instructions. Well, that's the gift of tongues with an interpreter is just like a prophecy. So when you read verse 1 of chapter 14, Paul is beginning to bring in order their services because their services are getting crazy. Many people are sharing testimony, and it's the same testimony. I've been in a church service where I felt God come on to me like a prophecy, where I feel the Lord say, be encouraged. God's got something this month of finances for you, and something very specific. And before I can give that prophecy, somebody else would stand up and give the exact same prophecy. So I was mature enough at the moment to say, okay, I'm standing down. They went first. I don't need to repeat what he said. I would just say, amen, I agree, because I heard that too. But what was happening here is someone would say something specific. The Spirit of the Lord is here to do this. And then someone else would say the exact same thing. I want to prophesy to show you that I heard God too. You have to know that I heard God too. I could just say amen and let it move along. So much of this was happening. They were talking. They were beginning to take the whole service, not have a lot of teaching. People would stand up and overtake the service, trying to do good things and spiritual things. And Paul's trying to bring things in order because one of the problems they were doing was people would stand up and give a personal tongue for the crowd and leave them just, oh, that was nice, good job, but not edified. And Paul's being clear, the purpose of a church service is for edification. The purpose of a church service is to help people grow and mature. And so he's dividing in these verses the difference between your personal prayer language and the gift of tongues. Now, just to help reiterate, your personal prayer language is when you go ask the Holy Spirit to come into your heart and you ask to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. He comes in that agreement because you welcomed me in. He comes and lives in you, and he baptizes you. Baptism is like being baptized in water. You're immersed fully in him. He's now your teacher, your guide, your comforter. He wants to lead your life, encourage you, teach you who you really are, and help you overcome everything. And so the Holy Spirit begins to pray, give you utterance. He tells you what to say, you say it. So he begins to give you utterance, and that's your personal prayer language. That's for you. You can do it when you drive your car. You can do it when you decide to yield your tongue over to him. You don't have to wait for God to knock you in the head or for him to come upon you. He's in you. You're already baptized in him. You can pray in tongues whenever you want, and he's right there to do it with you. But the gift of tongues is selective. It's only on certain people, and it's only when the Spirit of God wants it to happen. So you can be at home cooking dinner and go, oh, let the gift of tongues come on me. Well, there's no audience there to be edified. It's not going to come upon you. The gift of tongues is for a service. And the only reason a gift of tongue works is because there's always an interpreter to go alongside. Someone else in the crowd, in the audience at that time, who is not a translator, it's an interpreter. I am interpreting. The Spirit of God is telling me what he told you, but in my language, in our language, and I'm interpreting. So it's a partnership between those two at that one service. And he's trying to bring things in order because it's just beginning to get chaotic. We can read the history of the Corinthian church. They were pretty wild and crazy people. So Paul's bringing things in order. And that's what he's doing in these verses. So it's important we read these verses, because I want you to really understand that praying in tongues is for everyone. It's for each believer who seeks after him. God's not a respecter of persons. But also, what did Paul mean when he says, do all speak with tongues? Because the right answer for that is no. And so we're going to answer that here in a way that you'll understand completely what I wish I understood when that man told me, that minister told me, well, Alan, it's okay because it's not for you. And if I would have lived with that, I would never have found hungered for praying in tongues. But I hungered for it. I wanted it, and I was not going to let God off without letting me have it. Verse 1, we'll start there, chapter 14. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Now, I'm going to interpret this for you. Especially that you may prophesy. He's talking about in a service. So in a service, that's the gift that you want. A prophecy, speaking for God. What better gift is there when you're talking to someone to speak what God wants for them in that moment? For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to man, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. So now he's talking about when you pray in the Holy Ghost, your personal prayer language, people do not understand the mysteries that you're praying. You're praying mysteries for your spiritual mind to grab, but your natural mind is left unfruitful. And he says that's the reason we pray. One of the reasons we pray in tongues is that we speak mysteries. But man do not understand it. Verse 3. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to man. So in a service, you want to have a prophecy. You want to speak the mind of God, what God wants at that moment, because it'll bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to the man around you. Verse 4, he who speaks in a tongue, edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. So when you pray in tongues, even though you don't understand it, this is your personal language, personal prayer language. When you pray in tongues, even though you don't understand it, it is edifying you and teaching you mysteries because your spiritual mind is capturing those great revelations from the Holy Ghost and great thoughts and great understanding. Your natural mind is unfruitful. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, talking about your personal prayer language. But he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues. Okay, so now he's saying, I wish you all spoke with tongues. Now stop there, because this is important. I wish you all spoke with tongues. If we go back to chapter 12, he said, do all speak with tongues? No. So he's not saying, I wish those of you who had the gift would speak in tongues. He said, I wish all of you would speak in tongues. So here clearly are two different definitions of tongues in these verses. One is a gift that's selective for certain people and not for everyone. The other one is for everyone. So we want to discern which one he's talking about in the verses so we can be confident that God wants you, yes, to pray in tongues. If you're struggling to pray in tongues, you've been asking God for it, be encouraged. God's heart for you, and he will not withhold it from you. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. Now, this is talking about in the service. Even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. So, when it comes to the giftings, you want to have something that edifies people. And so he mentions the three edification giftings here for a service. Prophecy, which is a direct word from God to the people in their language. Then there's the gift of tongues, which is praying in the heavenly language for the service. And then there's the interpretation of that tongue for that service at that moment. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more so that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless he interprets, that the church may receive edification. So the whole point of anything in a service is not for people to look at you and go, oh, you're so anointed, God's using you, wow, you're spiritual. The whole point of doing anything in a service in a church is to edify everyone around you and not yourself. If you want to edify yourself, you go pray in tongues by yourself. But the point of a service, anything in a crowd, is to edify what's best for the people in front of me, never what's best for you. And that's for anyone who wants to be a leader. That's being a leader. You do what's best for people in front of you. You don't do what's best for you. You do what's best for the people in front of you. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues. So the greater than he simply means that there's more fruit from the understanding of the tongue in the gift. There's more fruit in that moment when someone interprets the tongues or speaks a prophecy, because that's the reason of it. Now, but brethren, verse 6, if I come to you speaking with tongues, so this is your personal prayer language that you can do whenever you choose. The Holy Spirit, it's not that you're telling the Holy Spirit what to do, it's that you are letting him do what he wants to do all the time. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. He's always waiting for you to say, okay, let's pray. Let's spend time together. So when you pray in tongues as you choose. So here he says, this is your personal prayer language. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, your personal prayer language, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by teaching? So in other words, if I'm with you, what good is it if I just speak in my personal prayer language for the time we spend together today? That all you do is you turn on your video and you see me speak in that heavenly language, which is edifying me, but to you, you don't understand what I said. I don't understand what I said, but it does you no good when I pray in tongues, because it's edifying my inner man. So when you pray in the Holy Ghost, for your personal prayer language, it edifies you. But what good does it do if I just pray in my personal prayer language in your presence and make you listen to me for our time together? Well, it doesn't. What makes a difference is when I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or teaching. So these are the things that we do in a service. He's very clear here. Teaching by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching the Word of God. That's what's for a service. Not you just praying in the Holy Ghost for your personal prayer language. Even things. Now he's breaking it down to help them understand the difference here between their personal prayer language and the gift of praying in tongues for the church service, for the believers. Okay? Even things without life, whether the flute or the harp, when they make a distinct sound, unless they make a distinction in the sound, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if a trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So in the army back then, the trumpeter would blow a certain sound out of his trumpet, and that sound would indicate to the army all over the place, because they didn't have walkie-talkies. This is time to fight. This is time to run. This is time to stay. I think go to the left, go to the right. There's many different commands just by the sound. It has a purpose. Every sound has a purpose of instruction. And he's saying here, for if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, so a sound that's unfamiliar to you, you don't know what he means, who will prepare for battle? So how will you know it's time to fight if you don't understand what's being played by the trumpet? And that's, he's implying, for your personal prayer language in a service, if you just pray in tongues, then no one's going to understand what God's saying to you. You don't even understand most of the time what God's saying to you. Only your inner man understands what God is saying to you. So likewise, you, unless you utter by a tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. So this is saying for your personal prayer language, the language you receive when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, it's not the gift of tongues. It's your personal prayer language. It's your partnership, your intimate partnership with the guide, the teacher, the comforter, your pastor, your leader. So many things the Holy Spirit, minister, encourager, psychologist, everything you need. And just by taking time and praying in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit is there to walk with you and guide you. And so, likewise, you, unless you utter by tongue words easy to understand, how will be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. So when I pray in my personal prayer language, it's for me. It's for my spirit, man. It's not for you. It's not for others to understand, or really even others to hear necessarily, because it does not edify them. It's just like speaking into the air. I don't know what you said. I don't know what that means or what it's supposed to do, but good for you. There are, verse 10, it may be so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. So again, implying that even in our spoken language around the world, I can go to another country and speak in my language, and if they don't understand me, it's the reason of speaking is mute. It's unfruitful. Therefore, I do not know the meaning of the language. It shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. So you have two people just talking and no one's understanding. I know some people who like to talk, and they don't care if you're listening, and they just like to talk. I was in Brazil one time, and one of the ladies was talking to me, and I was trying to understand her. She's speaking in Portuguese. We're all at the dinner table. And she was talking away, and I heard one word that I thought I understood. And I went, oh, yeah, yeah. And so I was trying to guess what the rest of the words were in her sentence, because I found one word. And it was probably a food word, because I know more food Portuguese than gospel words in Portuguese. And because I responded yes, she loved to talk. So she went talking, and all the table was laughing. I didn't understand why, but she kept talking to me. And at the end, after about 10 minutes of her talking to me, listening intently, I was listening to find one word in every sentence that I might understand. A number, a food, a God word, something that maybe I could understand. And as I was listening intently, it looked like I was understanding. And because she thought I understood her, she went off talking about her family and all kinds of things. And everyone laughed at the end because they said, she had a whole conversation with you. They made fun of her. You just had a whole conversation with Alan, and he did not know anything you were saying. Did not understand one word. And you just talked and talked like you were best friends, and he understood everything. And so we all chuckled at that. And she didn't mind necessarily that I didn't understand. She just liked to tell me stuff, even though I didn't understand what she was saying. Well, that's similar here. If you use praying in tongues in a service, a church service with Christians, your personal prayer language, it doesn't edify them. It only edifies you. So like that woman edified herself by telling her story. Didn't edify me. Verse 11, therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. So if you're excited about the gifts make sure you understand the gifts that he talks about in chapter 12 are for the church service, for the people, not for you. And if you're zealous for the gifts, then seek that what you God uses you in is for the edification of the church, not just for you to be edified. And even so, since you are zealous for the spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. So if you're really desiring to be used of God, make sure it's for something that God can change people's life in. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. Now, this is not talking about your everyday praying in the Holy Ghost. In context, what he's saying, if you are praying to be used of God and you have a tongue for the service, you also must pray that there will be an interpreter there to help to bring the understanding of what you said to the crowd of people who are waiting, because you paused the service with your tongue. And all the attention went to what you were saying. And no one could understand you, but you pray that the interpreter comes. I've been in a few services where someone would give a tongue and no interpreter. One man in our church used to love to give tongues, but sometimes he'd hit it and other times he'd miss it. And so he'd go get the mic and he'd give a tongue, and then he'd wait for someone to interpret and wait. And if no one felt an interpretation, he would panic, and then he would try to look to me and look to some of the people in the church. And eventually, because it was getting obvious that he just wanted to pray in tongues in front of people, he would give his tongue and we'd drop our head down and look to the ground because we didn't want him to pick on us. So he finally just interpreted for himself. And confusing these verses, he did. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. So this is not saying when you pray in tongues. I've heard this argument before in my youth. Hey, when God uses you to pray in tongues, you need to pray you have an interpretation. Otherwise, it's useless. What good is it? Well, that's not what it means. It means here that when you pray in tongues in a church service, Paul's trying to help them understand the difference. That when you just pray in tongues in front of a bunch of people, your personal prayer language is like an instrument that is not playing right. It doesn't make sense. No one knows what you're playing, what note it is. That's not even a note you're playing. That's just a noise. But if you pray in a tongue by the gift of God, you want an interpreter, because that tongue then is that at that moment God comes on you and says, I want you to say this now in the service. You don't get to choose when that happens. You don't get to choose what you say. God comes on you and says, this is the gift. Do this. And you say it. Then there is an interpreter there to bring the understanding to the crowd like a prophecy would. And this is the confusion that was happening. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. Oh, verse 13. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. So you're praying that the interpretation comes forward to the people. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. So when I pray in the Holy Ghost privately, my understanding doesn't capture it. Even myself, I don't know what I prayed. What is the conclusion then? I will pray in the Spirit, I'll also pray in the understanding. I will sing in the Spirit, I will also sing in the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen? So I'm just going to, if we took our time together, our coffee time, you and I right now, we had coffee. You said, Brother Al, I appreciate you. Teach me something. And I said, well, brother, I'm going to teach you some great revelation. And then I just prayed in tongues in front of you in an unknown language, in my personal prayer language, edifying myself for an hour. And you went, looks good. Man, I felt the presence of God. Looks spiritual. I don't know when to say amen, because I don't know if you're telling me good things or bad things. Well, I don't know either, because I'm praying in my own personal prayer language. That's why any spiritual gift, including praying in tongues for the service, has to have an understanding with it, an interpreter. So interpretation, so that the people will gain an understanding of edification, exhortation, or comfort. That is what all words in a service are for. All speaking in a service is for. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the informed say amen at your giving of thanks, and he does not understand what you say? Verse 17. For indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. So here Paul is saying that I thank God that I pray in tongues more than you all. So he's not trying to limit their private prayer language. He's trying to encourage their private prayer language. He's trying to limit praying in tongues in your private prayer language in public, in Christian public, in a service. And because it is spiritual, it is a God touching you and speaking through you. But when you pray in your personal prayer language, which you can pray when you want to, it's for you. It edifies you, but doesn't edify the people around you. And so he's saying, I thank God I pray in tongues more than you all. Now, let's go back over to chapter 12. And we're just going to look at these verses and answer this question. Verse 27, we're going to start there. And I want you to see, I want just to take a moment and prove to you that this prayer that he's talking about that isn't for everyone, the prayer of tongues, isn't for everyone, is a gifting for the church, is not for individuals. Because we're clear here in chapter 12 that there is a body, and there's many parts in the body, and we all have different parts. But in that, we also have different giftings to go with our parts, meaning that we're not all to be the same when it comes to what we do for the business of the kingdom of God. But we all are equal as children of God. That means that we're equal to know God. So let's look at verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. So now he names the jobs of the church in the body. So this is the body of Christ. These are the jobs in the body of Christ. And you fit into one of these jobs. And he names them off. There's a fivefold ministry. These are usually, typically, the full-time ministers. Apostle, second prophets, third teachers. After that, miracles and gifts of healings. So he replaces miracles with evangelists and gifts of healings with pastors. So their gifting goes with their calling. And so there's apostle, prophets, teachers, after that miracles, then gift of healings. Now if you look closely in your Bible, you'll see that there is a comma there, not a period. So it doesn't stop there. The work of the church does not stop at the fivefold ministry. He names other categories, other jobs in the body. And we fit into one of these jobs. There's eight different jobs, eight different categories. Apostle, second prophets, teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healings, which would be evangelists and pastors. Then helps, administrations, and variety of tongues. And then there's a period. So there's eight different jobs in there. Helps, administrations, and variety of tongues. That is the ending of verse 28. Variety of tongues. So then he asks them, are all apostles? The answer is rhetorical. No, only some are apostles. And I want you to see that that question goes with the eight callings that he's describing. Are all apostles? Well, no, because some are teachers, some are prophets. So no, not everyone is an apostle. Okay, are all prophets? Well, no, because some might be apostles, some might be helps, which a lot of times is an entrepreneur. Administration, doing the work, a lot of the hands-on stuff in the ministry. But variety of tongues is another whole category to itself. So are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? Well, no. Are all workers of miracles? No. So can you see here that the rhetorical question of are all people one thing is compared to the callings, that the callings are different for every person. And then he continues, do all have the gift of healings? Well, no, we all have different gifts with our callings. And then he says, do all speak with tongues? So see, that speaking with tongues is not talking about your personal prayer language here. The speaking of tongues is in the giftings, a variety of tongues. In the giftings and callings of the church, there is a calling for someone to give a tongue in a service, and there is a calling for someone to interpret. And you can see here, right behind that question, do all speak in tongues? The next question is, do all interpret? Do all have a gifting to stand up in a service and give a tongue from God in that moment for the service, and then someone else stands up and gives the interpretation in the known language, the understanding of men? And the answer is no, because we all have different callings. But that's not talking about everyone, the body of Christ, the whole, every believer has a right to pray in your personal prayer language. So when he says, do all speak with tongues, the answer is no, and he means not your personal prayer language. He's making a fine cut line here, and I hope I'm doing a decent job of trying to show this to you. Do all interpret? No. And then he says, but earnestly desire the best gifts. So what gifts are we to desire? We're desire the gifts that go with my calling. If I'm called to be an entrepreneur, I want God's gifting to help me make a lot of money. If I'm called to be an evangelist, I want the gift of miracles so I can see the dead raised. But we also believe in the anointing of believer that we have access to all of the Holy Spirit through who we are in Christ. But there is access to power and different things in God through the giftings. That's another sermon. But I want us just to go one more step here. Earnestly desire the best gifts, and I'll show you a more excellent way. So now he's beginning to talk about love, that we are to pursue love individually and not to pursue giftings. We're to pursue love and desire gifts. But earnestly desire the best gifts that I may show you a more excellent way. And then in verse 13, though I speak with tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Now this verse puzzled me for many years because, again, I was used by people who didn't know better. They meant well. I don't know if I met too many preachers who don't mean well. Sometimes they're confused. They don't know enough. They were wrong. They were trying their best, but they were wrong. So some well-meaning preachers would come to me and say, brother, I know you want to pray in tongues, but hey, you know, what good does it do? Even if you pray in tongues, but you don't have love, then you're just a clanging cymbal. You're sounding brass. So don't even pray in tongues. Seek love. In context here, he's talking here about the giftings. See, notice he says that if you speak with tongues of man and angels. And this is right after, it follows right after tongues and interpretation. A tongue for a service is a heavenly language for that service. And then following after that is the tongue of the man interpreting that heavenly language into a language of understanding, tongues of men. And so he's saying here, if you are used of God in the gifting, and your gifting is to speak in a service, so God comes on you in a service, you don't have to be holy necessarily, you don't have to develop the love, it's a gift, then God can come on you in a service and you speak with tongues, and someone can stand up and give an interpretation, and they might think, well, see, I'm more spiritual because God's using me for the service, and he's not using you. I'm more spiritual because God chose to have the gift on me. And he's very clear, not everyone is chosen to have the gift of tongues for the service. So someone who does have that gift may stand up and say, ha ha, I'm special. I'm specially loved and anointed by God. And in this context of these chapters, you find out Paul's addressing that too and saying, you're not special. It's not because you are holier or more spiritual or more loved, is because there's a gift on you that comes without repentance. It's a gift on you which comes upon you. And he says here, if you do and perform in a service by the gift of tongues, in a service, tongues of man and tongue of angels, the interpretation, he's fallen right behind the gifting and the callings here. And you walk in your calling, and God uses you because of your calling and uses you because of the gift, not because of the love you developed in you, then you're just a sounding brass and clanging cymbal. And so the tongues here that he's trying to encourage you to put in the proper context is that not everyone is called to the gift of tongues in a service. And that also you can walk in the gift of tongues in a service and interpretation and not have love. And if that's the case, God's using you by your calling and working through you or with you with your calling and not because of your maturity. And we've all seen preachers and ministers who walk in certain anointings or do certain things, but yet don't walk in holiness or in love. That's the answer as well. If you're being used of God, but you don't have love, you're missing the point because you're not going to get the reward. That's the gift on you. It didn't cost you anything. Pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, chapter 14, verse 1. Two more verses, then we'll close. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. talking about the church service. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to man but to God. For no one understands him, however, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. Your personal prayer language is for every believer to be baptized in the Holy Ghost to speak with tongues. And it edifies yourself. You speak mysteries to your inner man. But there's a gift of tongues for the church service. That's not for everyone. But it's supposed to be done in order. We're not to pray in our personal prayer language and take over a service in with a bunch of believers and make them leave unsatisfied or unfruitful or unedified because all we did was edify ourselves. Spiritual prayer language that you have when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost is for your private time and is for you. Now, there are gifts where we speak in tongues for other people, but only if there's an interpreter. And if you're going to do that, you want to pray there's an interpreter. Otherwise, you'll be looking foolish. And I'm going to close there. And I hope that helped you understand a little bit. I wish I knew this answer way, way, way back then. It would have helped me to navigate quicker, possibly, my path to praying in the Holy Ghost, my path to God, and my understanding that He's not a respecter of persons, that He loves you as much as anyone else. He has a calling on you that's as important as anyone else. He believes in you more than anyone else, and He's for you. And He has given you a personal tool that you can use as much as you want to pray in the Holy Ghost so He can educate you, help you to understand who He is, help you to understand who you are in Him, help you to overcome weaknesses and struggles, help you to understand a great revelation. You pray the perfect will of God. He's the comforter of the God, and He wants to walk with you. And I don't want you discouraged when someone says, well, it's not for you. It's only for certain people. So you might as well give up. Let's get baptized in the Holy Ghost and let's pray in tongues because it is powerful to change your life. Nothing is impossible. Thank you so much for spending time with me. God bless you.